take your Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, I'm reading this over and over and over again, and this morning when we were having breakfast, I read this to Marcia again, and I noticed some things. I said, honey, I'm going to preach on that tonight. I never noticed that the Bible says, and you know, we always call this Palm Sunday, and we always raise the palms. If you're going to some churches today, they give you a piece of palm. But you know what? The palm, I was reading this, and I thought, the Bible says, verse 7, this won't cost you anything, just a little extra, amen, just to tempt you to come back tonight, amen. And brought the ass and the colt and put on their clothes and set him thereon. It was something personal. They put their clothes on the ass so that the Lord Jesus could ride on that. And then it said, and a very great multitude spread their, what? Garments in the way. And cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And I thought, some people will give everything they've got to serve God, to worship God. And then there's others just cut down branches from the trees. And I never saw it before. I've been preaching for 47 years. I never saw that. Here, you know, we praise God. We ought to have Clothes Sunday instead of Palm Sunday, amen? They gave everything. I mean, back in those days, their clothes most, I mean, they were made by someone by hand. They weren't, you can go down Walmart and get yourself a new jacket or something, amen. That wasn't even a thought, but I thought, man, here it is, people in this world who say, hey, here it is. Here it is. And let an old donkey ride, walk over it. And then the other people say, I like my coat too much. I ain't gonna let little donkey walk on my stuff. I'll just cut down the tree. But that's enough of that, all right? At least they did it, amen? At least they did it. Well, the Bible says here that these people came, great multitude. Why? Then Jesus came. I want to talk to you about when Jesus comes, what happens. There's a lot of things. When then cometh Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, then cometh Jesus. Talked about when Jesus Christ came to John the Baptizer and came to Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. John the Baptizer was baptizing in the River Jordan. And he was preaching this magnificent message for people to prepare for the coming of Messiah, Yeshua Yamashiach. He was coming. The Messiah was coming. The Savior of the world was coming. And he was preaching, and he would make a lot of people mad, especially the religious groups of that day. They didn't want anybody to take away from their given position. You know, here they're supposed to be preaching about Jesus Christ, the Messiah coming. And when the Messiah did come and showed perfect miracles and showed things that nobody else could do, they still were jealous about him, didn't want anything to do with it. Boy, there's something wrong with us, that kind of religion, amen? There's something kind of wrong with that. So John the Baptizer was out baptizing, and he prepared the people to coming Messiah, the great God of heaven that would, according to the Old Testament scripture, come and save the people from their sins. Listen to that mighty prophet in the wilderness as he lifts up his mighty voice when he sees Jesus and he cries, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Notice when Jesus was coming, listen to the cry of the blind man when he hears Jesus coming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me, he cries. I'd like you to notice how the world try to shut him up. How the religious people of the world, religious people, the people that are supposed to be preaching the Messiah, are trying to shut him up and keep him from seeing Jesus. By the way, that's not what's new today. People are trying to keep you to hear about Jesus Christ. They try their best to keep anyone from seeing Jesus Christ. They try their best to keep anybody ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. The world told him to keep quiet. But then Jesus came, the Bible says. I think of the mothers and fathers that were bringing their children and bringing their babies to Jesus, but were shoved away and told, Jesus is too busy for you. Well, glory to God. Jesus said, suffer the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, the great ruler of Pharisees, the religious leader, some people believe that he was probably the most religious man in the world at the time of Jesus Christ. He spent his lifetime in learning the Holy Scriptures and keeping all the rules and keeping all its regulations in the Jewish religion. Found that through all these, something was missing. Something was missing in his life. And he came one lonely night to the door of a very exceptional great teacher who taught only in parables and was doing such unbelievable miracles that no one could do or no one could explain or no one could literally believe that it actually could happen. The synagogue was abuzz about what this man was doing. Then he came to Jesus and found what true concept the eternal life was. We're not in rituals. Could not be found in organized religion nor in temples, but was in the love of the Almighty God who loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm reminded another time when Jesus came. He's sitting at the well in Samaria. He met a very troubled lady that had a very troubled life. Christ told her that she had five husbands and the one that she was living with, she was not even married to. She thought that she had all the answers. But then came Jesus into her life. And she said, He told me all things. Let me tell you something about this Savior. He is here to save your soul. He doesn't want you to be following religious regulations and religious standards. He wants you to come to Him and invite Him to be your personal Savior, to come in your heart and your life. Hey, there's a lot of people today cutting a lot of branches. He wants everything you have. And once you give everything that you have, you'll have more than you ever imagined. Then cometh Jesus into this lady's life. I look at the scriptures in Luke chapter 8, and we find a raging maniac, a crazy lunatic who was possessed by devils. It was reported to Jesus that the town people that he'd run around naked in a graveyard of Gadara. And the city fathers, I'm sure, had the social people come and take care of him and gave him all kinds of drugs to try to get him out of it. Gave him all kinds of things to keep him from being a nauseous person in their city. They tried to imprison him, couldn't do it. They tied him down, couldn't keep him tied down. Tried to make him an upstanding citizen, nothing worked. He kept running naked to the cemetery. They tried everything. Yet they could not subdue him, could not get him to stop his crazy actions. Then one day cometh Jesus. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Jesus came into his life and all things became new in this man's life. Scripture says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, then they went out to see what was done, the city fathers, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Listen now. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Amen about that, amen. Seems like he's got a lot of relatives running around today, amen. Clothed. In his right mind. And get what these city fathers were. And they were afraid. For years they've been trying to keep this man and subdue this man and have him to become an upstanding citizen. They've tried everything. They've tied him up. They've put him in jail. They've done everything, but they couldn't do nothing. And Jesus shows up, and then Jesus comes, and he gets Jesus in his heart, and all of a sudden, he is at peace. He is sitting. He's not running. He is clothed. He's not naked. And he is in his right mind. And the Bible says, get this is what the world has for you. And they were afraid. That's why the government trying to shut the churches down from preaching the Word of God. That's why that sodomist down there in Dallas, Texas, told all the preachers, we want all your sermons, we want all your texts, we want them in the office now. Why are they trying to do that? Because they're afraid that just maybe some old preacher would say, you know what? You are a sinner. You're going against the principles of the Word of God. This is against our government. And they're afraid to lose their job. They're afraid to lose their money. That's what they're afraid to lose their standing in the community. That won't cost you 25 cents. I just thought I'd throw that one in. Amen. They were afraid. Afraid of what? How can you be afraid of a man who's sitting at the feet of Jesus reading his Bible and praying? How can you be afraid of a man who is clothed? In other words, he dressed respectful. He doesn't show off his body. Some of you ought to take note of that. And in his right mind. He's in his right mind. And they're afraid? Are you kidding me? Why would you be afraid of someone who is acting like they should act? But there are people afraid of that. Thought I'd just throw that out for you. Notice, first of all, the ruler of the synagogue. Verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet. And wait a minute, hold on. What in the world? How can this be? I thought there was an edict. I thought there was a law out there that if you mentioned the name Jesus in the synagogue, you would be cast out. Why is this guy doing that? I'm telling you why this guy. He's finding out the synagogue was not meeting his needs. He's got a little daughter that's sick and she's about ready to die. And he needs some help. It's amazing how many times we have come to Christ because of some terrible thing that happens in our life. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue. He was the head man. And this head man fell down at the feet of Jesus and besought him that he would come into his house, asking Jesus to come into his house. No, you can't do that. You'll get kicked out of the synagogue. Here's the answer. For he had a daughter about 12 years of age. Anybody at 12 years of age? Stand up. Anybody, is a girl at 12 years of age? Here's a 12-year-old. Hey, you know what? Hey, Brother Wall, you guys, if you guys were dying, don't you tell me your daddy wouldn't come looking for somebody to help him. Amen? Thank you. You may be seated. She was dying. But he went. But as he went, the people thronged him. Any time that you're trying to get something, there seems like there's always somebody else getting in your way. Amen? This is what the Bible says. There is a woman who had an issue of blood. Scripture tells us that she spent everything she had to cure her, but nothing was working. Neither of them could do anything of themselves. The man that had the baby, the 12-year-old, was dying. He couldn't do nothing. The lady who had the issue of blood, she tried everything she could. She could not do nothing. Jesus knew the lady had a great problem. That doesn't surprise us, amen? Jesus is all-knowing. He knows everything at all times. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, He was God Almighty in the flesh. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, show us the Father. He said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He just took on flesh so He could dwell among us. So He'd be tempted in the same way that we were tempted. And He never failed one time. One time. He knew the lady that had a great problem and had by faith touched His garment for healing. The ruler of the synagogue needed help with his little daughter. She was very sick. She was near to death. She was at death's door. The Lord was dealing with the lady, the issue of the blood, and news came to the ruler that his daughter had died. She passed away. She no longer lived. His servant solemnly came to him and said, don't bother or trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. That close? He's that close to Jesus? And Jesus has stopped and talked to this woman that has a problem. A medical problem, and I'm sure he is dying. I want to tell the master about my daughter. And all of a sudden, that close. Have you ever been that close? And somebody else gets in your way? I was at a baseball game one time, and they were giving away to the last, I forget what it was, giving them something away. And a person in front of me won the prize. That's one person out of thousands. What do you think that priest thought? I have given my life. I've given my vocation. I no longer can be a priest. I've lost my job. I've lost everything. And I'm this close. No. Not only have I lost that, but the Bible says, don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. Oh, what a blow that must have been, this ruler of the synagogue. Not only lost his daughter, but he lost his life. Oh. I'm glad I got to read some more, amen. But then cometh Jesus. You may think that all your options of life are all used up. But let me tell you, there's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Let me tell you about my friend Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who lived on earth 2,000 years ago, who did great and unbelievable miracles, is still alive and well. Praise the Lord. He is still there. He's still working miracles. He's in a miracle-working business. The old world didn't believe Him, as His new world today doesn't believe in Him. Here it goes again. Listen now. If you look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 38, I don't know about you, but I was astounded. I read this. I know I've read it many times, but again. And they laughed Him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Jesus said, your daughter liveth. And they laughed Him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightly, and He commanded to give her meat. Yet Jesus cometh, amen. I'm glad Jesus is still around. When the troubles come and the heartache come, you listen to me now. I don't know if I can get it into your brain or not, but God is still on the throne. God still knows what's going on. He understands your problems, understands your sorrow. I had a call last week of a man, a young boy. He said, my grandpa just died. God knows that. That didn't surprise God. Let me ask you this. Is he in a better place? Well, if you ask Jesus in his heart, he's in a better place. He's in heaven, amen. No more sorrows, no more troubles, no more tears, no more problems, no more taxes. Yeah, it's coming. 15th of April. It's coming. Yes, it is. No more heartaches. He's in heaven. It's we who are still in darkness. It's we who still grope in this crazy life. And it's we who every day have to figure out one more way of getting one more day out of this world. It's we who scratch and wear our fingers to the bone for one more day in heaven. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hey, you can't scare me with heaven, amen. I'm ready today, brother. Bless God, hallelujah. Someone said, well, what if you're an airplane and you crash? Man, I'm like a super ball, man. I hit the bottom and then I'm straight to heaven, amen. Hallelujah. Someone said, what are you going to do in heaven? I'm going to put me some on alpaca socks. A couple weeks ago, I was in an alpaca ranch, and they make these magnificent socks. If you've ever wore a pair of alpaca socks, you've never had anything like it. But the trouble is, they're very slippery. Somehow, I don't know, but there must have been wax on my floor. I about went down the other day. I had my alpaca socks. I about went to heaven in my alpaca socks. Amen. But I will tell you, when I get to heaven, the Bible said the streets are transparent gold. They're so perfectly clear gold that it's just perfectly shiny. And bless God, you're here to... Whoosh. So what was that? That Brother Shear sliding on them golden streets. Amen. Man out there. Woo! Amen. Don't even have a skateboard in. Amen. We were over to Brother Lamont Church, and he lives way up in the hill of Missoula. And I was telling Sheldon and Josh, I said, man, can you imagine riding a skateboard down this? And Sheldon, he thinks about things. Says, I don't know, preacher. I said, I'll tell you what, if I rode a skateboard on it, I could lose 35 pounds. I'd fall off that thing and just skin all my skin off me. Amen. Disciples. Here's another one, disciples at the Sea of Galilee and feared for their life in a great storm. There was a great storm and their boat was taken on water. And these were seasoned sailors and fishermen. And they knew the dangers, what it was on the Sea of Galilee. They were so afraid they woke up Jesus and said, Lord, we perish! Then came Jesus. He stood and he stilled the waters. And for the most part, we know how to handle some storms. But sometimes in our life comes the storm. Some of you have been at the storm of your life. Some of you have been to the place where you have no way to turn. Some storms we know that we just need to get some shelter. But there's some storms that will rip the shelter apart. And I'm looking at some of you people today, and you've been through the storm of your life. Some of you have no idea what the storms of life will be, let alone the storm. I mean capital T, capital H, capital E, storm. It's coming. And I hope to God you got Jesus in the boat. Jesus says, oh, you little faith. The Bible says the water's coming in this boat. I mean, they're about to perish. They know what a storm is. Lord said, oh, you little faith. Wake me up for this. Be still. The Bible said that whole lake was still. Whoa. And they said, what manner of man is this? Well, didn't you ask him? Let me tell you something about you Christians. Listen to me. I'm talking about myself. Many times the storms of life come, and we go, oh, God, help me. And all of a sudden, and we say, whoa, what is that? Hey, you asked God for it, didn't you? Have you been to that place in your life where you see something happen in your life, and all of a sudden it just straightens out? Yeah. I was having so much fun, I forget what time it was. It's 12:03. I stopped preaching at 12 o'clock. I tried real hard. You better come back tonight. I'll finish this. Amen. Then Jesus comes. There's some times in your life you better hope to God you've got Jesus in your heart. And times in your life that Jesus comes and helps you. And the trials and the sorrows of your life that you have no way to turn. You don't. Only way you can look is up because everything is down. There's nobody to help you. Nobody you can find counsel to. I used to call my dad every once in a while. I said, "Dad, this is going on. What do you think?" I can't do that anymore. My dad is in heaven. I talked to my mom. I said, "Mama, what do you think about this?" And she used to tell me, and my mom is in heaven. One of these days you're going to feel real alone. And there's nobody to help you. But if you got Jesus, you got everything. You can go to Jesus and say, "Lord," He gives you the Bible. He gives you the Bible. What's going to help her? He gives you the Bible. Thank you, sister. He gives you the Bible. And He said, "I want to talk to you. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. I'm talking. Read your Bible. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Read your Bible." And then you talk to Him. I tell you what. Don't ever be afraid to fall on your face before God. You understand what falling on your face means? I mean just flat out on the ground. And say, "Dear God, I don't know where to go. My baby's sick. Turn it off." I was at a funeral one time, a 93-year-old man was sitting right up there front, and that thing went off. And I told the folks, I turned to sin. He was an old country boy. I don't think he ever wore a suit before. And you know, suits have a lot of pockets in them. I got a pocket here, pocket here, pocket here, pocket here, another pocket here, another pocket here. And he couldn't find that stupid thing. It's his wife's funeral. His face just turning red as that sweater right there. It didn't bother me. I don't know what I was doing. Put that thing back in the pocket and went off again. And he tried to find it. I guess he'd put it in another pocket. Well, he couldn't find it. Finally found it. Put it back in the fire. Rang again. He said, "Good night, man. I'm at a funeral for my wife. Call me later." Put it back in the pocket. Never happened again. Well, I want to bring you right back to where we're at, okay? Satan has a way of getting our attention off what we're doing. Will you just humor me for just a couple minutes and listen to me? There are times in your life that you're not going to have people to help you. And you're going to be on your own. Listen to me now. You're going to be on your own. And you ain't going nowhere to turn. The wind is blowing so hard. And the lightning is flashing. And the water is deep. And it is the storm. You're in trouble. And you're taking on water. And you know you only have a few minutes to live. Would you everybody turn your cell phones off, please? I think something must be going on here today to all this commotion. I know mine goes off, so I'm embarrassed for you. You're all right. I don't think I'm fussing with you. I just want to bring it to you today. There's a time in your life that you're going to think it ain't worth it anymore. And you're going to do something really stupid. You're going to jump out of that boat. But when you jump out of that boat, you're in a lot more danger than staying in the boat. You'll cause more havoc. You'll cause more trouble. Because if you stay in the boat, we'll know where to find you. But jump out of the boat. We can't find you. We can't help you. Troubles and sorrows come in this life. But then cometh Jesus. If you're here today and you have not invited Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, you're in great trouble. That's the greatest storm of your life, because you have no hope. Unless you call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven." Well, then right there where you're sitting there, just quietly, to God, say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me, my sins come into my heart. Save me right now." And God said, "I'll save you." That's a promise of God. He would that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. Secondly, you're here today and you're going through some troubles and heartache. Don't forget to call on Jesus. He may fuss with you a little bit and say, "You little faith." Oh, you little faith. You see, Jesus, when he's in this ship, just less than 24 hours from what this happened, he fed 5,000 people, the men, just men, not counting the women and children, fed them. And the Bible said they were filled. Less than 24 hours now, he says, "You forgot the feeding of the loaves." Some of the storms of life you think are so great are really nothing. Some of your greatest storms of your life, you don't even think they're important. All I'm saying to you is trust God. Stay in the boat. Trust God. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to help you. And then thank Him for loving you. Don't be afraid of heaven. Don't ever be afraid of heaven. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Dear God, I pray you'd help us now as we trust in you. Lord, if there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, Lord God, today would be that day. Lord, speak to their hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, "Preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven, but I want to take care of that today." Why don't you just lift your hand and let me pray for you. "Preacher, I'm not sure today. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me, please. Pray for me." You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved. But you know, there are some troubles in my life. I have no idea how to get through this thing. Please pray for me." You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. Why don't you invite Jesus right now to your heart? Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart right now, God. Save me." And if you did that, why don't you just say, "Dear God," just pray to God. Say, "God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for saving my soul." If you're here today and you did that, why don't you raise your hand and let me thank God for you. God bless you. Someone else. You're here today and say, "Preacher, there are some things in my life I'm just having some struggle with." Hey, God is near. How can I get it any clearer? How can I be any clearer? God is near. He loves you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. We'd sure like to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Why don't you just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, "Preacher, today I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need a God. I need a Savior. I need a Messiah that will come and save me." Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord and believers' baptism. I need to take care of that." Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time?" Why don't you come? Again, you're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now?" Oh, what a great time. What a great thing to be saved. Those old disciples, when Jesus came up from the bottom of the deck. He said, "Peace be still." And that's what he'll do to your life. He will help you. You hear Dane say, "Preacher, you know, I need to follow Lord and believers' baptism. I knew what to do, what the Bible says. You come. Why don't you come?" Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we can serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come. You're always coming to us. We thank you for that. You're always there for us. We thank you for that. Help us, Lord, not to forget where you're at. Lord, you're but one step from us at all times. Bless us. Help us, Lord, as we come back tonight. Lord, help us as we go to our separate homes and places to eat. Lord, may we rejoice and thank God that you are here for us and to help us. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, you're dismissed.